When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Run with Melissa Cooper, the Director of Treasury Management Sales and Onboarding at Associated Bank. Melissa, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We want to talk today about business-to-business payments. Let's start first by telling people what B2B payments are.
Yeah, so business-to-business payments really is just talking about how businesses pay other businesses. So any type of vendor that they may work with, if you're a manufacturer, you may buy steel, and how do you pay that steel company, right, for that steel that you need to bring in-house to do what you're going to do with it. So that's essentially what we're talking about here is how do you pay other businesses for the services they're giving you?
Historically, that's been done by paper checks. Is it still being done that way?
Yeah, you're right. Unfortunately, it still is. There's a huge amount of companies who use checks as their primary form of payment to other businesses. It is declining, but we do enjoy our checks here in the United States. So,
talk to us a little bit about what the other forms of payments are and which one is winning out over checks, do you think?
Yeah. So first we kind of think about, first level sort of paying by checks, physical properties. There's also sometimes cash, which is pretty much out of vogue because it's not the best way of tracking, but technically cash is an option as well. Then you have paper check, and then you start to get into the electronic range of payment. So things like ACHs is a form of electronic payment that customers use. Often, if you get sort of automated payroll, that is actually an ACH typically. So businesses can send those to another business to pay. The other is wires, which is another type of electronic payment, a little bit more expensive, but wires are there. And then now we're seeing a lot more card payments. So businesses are paying for certain services using different types of corporate cards. So be it a what we call a purchasing card, a standard corporate card or credit card. And now we're also seeing what's called a virtual card as well, which is a type of sort of secure one-time single-use card that businesses can use to pay other businesses.
Talk to us a little bit about how expensive it is to keep using checks versus, let's say, one of these electronic forms of payments.
Yeah, no, it's a great question because oftentimes businesses don't take into consideration all the costs that go into a check. On average, a business customer who writes about, 3,000 checks as an example, a month or so, they have an annual cost of about $73,000 a year just to do that check processing. And if you think about it, right, it's not just the paper that it takes to print those checks, which is a cost, but you also have to bring people in to actually prepare those checks, and then someone's got to put a stamp on it and put it in the mail. So there's a lot of time involved in check processing that oftentimes businesses aren't thinking about when they're thinking of the cost of processing checks. Now you compare that to like an ACH. If you take that same customer and you moved about 50% of those checks to ACH, they would lower their cost to about $46,000 a year, right? And then if you continue sort of down that stream, you start to actually see savings and potentially incremental revenue if you move into the card space, because now you've gotten rid of the paper, you've created some efficiencies with your payment process, and you oftentimes with these corporate and purchasing cards get what's called a rebate for actually using it to pay other businesses.
It's interesting because you're talking about a lot of money potentially, right? Those savings here could be mm-hmm. quite tremendous for a company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Savings from a cost perspective, the efficiencies that you gain with just reutilizing people in a different way, and just more transparency also on some of your payments. So like think about a check, it could be with USPS, and we love our folks at the USPS. So I don't want to say anything too negatively about it. But, checks sit in the mail, right? And there's float, and sometimes they get lost as well, versus if you're using a card or electronic payment, that payment is, there out the door. It's there when it needs to be there. You don't have to send it sooner. You don't have to send it later. You can send it when you need it. So there's just a lot of efficiency and cost mm-hmm. savings by moving from paper to more electronic.
From a consumer level, Melissa, the reason we sometimes send a check to one of our bills is because we want to have that time period for the check to clear, right? We want is it the same with companies? Do they use paper checks? Are they continuing to use paper checks because they need that time for the money to go from one place to another?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there is some use of what you're talking about is float, right? So, you know, people are sort of using float to potentially get by or whatever like that. And people do that. What I'll say to that, though, especially if you move into the card space, as an example, by using a corporate card, you're actually extending out your days by about, you know, 20 to 30 days because now you've put it on a card, right? And you don't really have to do an outlay of cash to pay for that bill for another 20, 30 days. So a way to sort of move from the check where you're sort of dealing with that, you know, four to six day float, and you move to sort of the card element, you're actually giving yourself more cash available to do other things with until you actually have to pay that bill. Now, when you talk about ACH and wires, you're right. There's not a whole lot of float there, but oftentimes companies that you're paying will give you sometimes discounts. So if you can send those funds to them, or it's going to be company by company, but sometimes you'll get a discount if you send it a little bit early, which would outweigh any float that you would get. So there's a lot of different benefits, but you certainly can't benefit from a discount or kind of getting that 20-day flex with the card by doing a check, right? There's just a lot of, once you put it in the mail, there's just a lot that you're not in control of anymore.
So how much are banks driving this conversation from moving from checks to more digital transactions? Talk to us a little bit about how Associated Bank might be driving some companies to move from paper to some of these digital forms.
Yeah, so we really like to have conversations with our customers about first just talking about what is your working capital cycle, right? Like, you know, what are your terms for moving in accounts receivable? So if you sold something and you give your customers 30 days, and then what's the timing you have to pay on your payables, right? So we talk about that a lot, like what's your working capital cycle, you know, what's sort of that deficit, if you will. Then we'll also talk about, okay, so what are the methods that your vendors are available for paying? So do you have to pay by check? Can you pay by ACH? So we really drive a conversation around working capital, thinking about how their operations work today in terms of how are they sending out payment, how are they reconciling it to identify their potential efficiencies that can be had for their people. You know, one of the things we saw with COVID, which I know it seems like it was so long ago, but this really came into the forefront, Steve, when people are at home and they were like, oh, well, we need someone to go in to write a check to pay this vendor, right? And people, they want to come into an office to write a check. And so a lot of these conversations really sort of started strongly with that because they're like, well, are there other methods so my people don't have to come in the office? And the answer is yes. You can certainly from your home on a computer send an ACH or a wire or pay with a card. So yes, banks are really driving these conversations. We're talking with our clients about it a lot of, you know, just helping them identify what are the efficiencies, you know, what are you doing today and how can we help you in the future?
After the pandemic, a lot of conversation also focused on resiliency among companies. Talk to us a little bit about the resiliency factor where payments are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, so if we talk about resiliency factor for companies, it really, you know, if you take what I just kind of mentioned about being able to give your people that are doing this day to day the ability to have variety, right? So we're not saying you're going to get rid of checks all the time, but resilience in terms of being able to provide them with several different options that make sense for their business is really the name of the game, right? And how they can be resilient and manage their payments to the best of their ability, right? So if you only limit yourself to checks, you're not very resilient because all you have is checks in your toolkit. And that's why, you know, companies during the pandemic found themselves sort of like, oh, what do I do? But by adding these different options, you really make yourself more efficient and resilient so that you can sort of dig into that tool chest and say, oh, yeah, I can pay you with a virtual card. And it just gives you those options.
As we look to the future, I know you're trying to get folks away from checks into some of these other payments, but let's look maybe beyond 2025 or 2030. What do you think the payment is going to be then? I noticed that you haven't mentioned cryptocurrency at all, Bitcoin or any of those. Is the blockchain going to be a part of this?
You know, it's a good question, and we're getting a little bit out of my depth on that a bit, but, you know, certainly things like blockchain and that technology, so maybe not necessarily crypto, but the use of that technology is something that we're seeing in the forefront. I think crypto as a type of currency we might see more of, right? It's really going to depend on where the regulators come down, honestly, in terms of if they see it as a true currency that can be sort of moved, right? But the bigger thing we're starting to see is faster payments. And so you see it in the consumer space already with Zelle and the Venmos of the world where you can kind of send payment instantaneously. And so there are, like the Fed is developing FedNow, which is something that's being, you know, coming out later this year, early next year, which is really sort of a faster, instant business-to-business type of payment structure that would be available to businesses. We have it with real-time payments already, and the FedNow is coming out with their version of it. So you're really seeing it's really going to be more about faster payments. Now, we hear all the time, well, why would businesses want to, you know, quicken their payments up, right? And so that'll be sort of the evolution of this thing. But that's where we're really seeing it is faster payments, different types of formats, the send-in payments is really what we're seeing coming down the pike as well.
When you compare the business space to the consumer space, the lag is really stark. The difference is because, you know, in the consumer world, a lot of us don't carry cash anymore. We certainly don't pay with checks anymore. It's all electronic. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about how there's such a big difference.
Yeah, you know, it's in banking, and I've been doing this for quite some time, consumer space always sort of leads the charge, and then businesses sort of, you know, follow along. And if you think about it, you know, usually it's the consumer that's, you know, running a treasury department or something at the business. And I just think it's different because the payment landscape is different. If you think about, so if we're talking about business-to-business payments, right? So when I'm suggesting a company should pay another company by card, we have some of the pushback on the merchant side of things where the person receiving that card is saying, well, it costs me money because I have these merchant fees to accept that card. So there's a push and pull on either side, whereas on the consumer space, the businesses that are working with consumers, they don't typically have to eat that cost, or it's a part of the product cost. It's not as seen, and the payment volumes are usually smaller as well. So it's just a different landscape. There's a lot of push and pull in the industry because if you're going to send a card, someone has to accept that card, and there's an element to that. But it's all coming along. I also mentioned, too, the other reason is the data that goes with the payment. So it's not enough for a business to just send a payment of $100,000, right? They need to send that $100,000 along with sort of the information. So this is $100,000 for that piece of inventory that I bought 30 days ago, but not for the one that I bought 60 days ago, as an example. So there's some information complexity with sending payment as well that's being solved by these solutions, but that's also some of the reason why it takes a little longer for businesses to go down this this continuum of payment.
Yeah, and I would imagine cybersecurity issues as well, right?
Oh, yeah, cybersecurity. But I will mention, and I'm glad you brought it up. So, yeah, cybersecurity is always going to be important, making sure you're shoring up your systems, making sure as that data moves from business to business, it's protected. And a lot of this, especially on the card space, protects that data. But I will mention, when you write a check, and I'm going to put this out there, your account number and ABA is at the bottom of that check, right? So there's nothing very secure about check writing at all. And frankly, with a lot of the thefts we're seeing with USPS keys and mail theft and stuff, we're seeing check fraud just skyrocket. It's always been very high, but it's just skyrocketing because of that. And so as you move along these evolutions, the fraud that's taking place in these different payment methods goes down dramatically when you move away from checks. And I'll mention the virtual card space as an example. The reason why that product's kind of coming out is because a lot of companies don't want to give out ACH information, which is understandable. So with the virtual card single use, you're not giving out any of your company's account information in order to pay those bills. So there's just a lot of protection that comes with sort of moving along the payment evolution here for customers as well.
Melissa, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, so individuals, again, Melissa Cooper, can reach me at treasury@associatedbank.com. So TREASURY @associatedbank.com to have a further conversation.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you.